If you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about Jesus and Beelzebub being supposedly and God's chosen servants are spoken about in verse 15. Verse 22, he's presented with a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him. And verse 23 says, all the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? But watch the officials. I would call them the religious crowd, because they haven't changed. 24. But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. Verse 25 says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. Every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? A lot of times we don't understand the demonic realm because we don't understand kingdom thought patterns. And I don't want to go into that right now. I want to just kind of let you get a flow of where he's coming from. 27, it says, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So it was common knowledge at that day that demon spirits were operating. Today's theology says there's no such thing. In fact, we don't even have the, let's say, grace and favor coming from people in authority to believe such a thing could be today. But I've watched some of the testimony of today, and I've listened and read between the lines, and I can truthfully say that the majority of our households, some of them, and we've got some people in our hearts that we carry, and they're under the influence of this kind of darkness.
Amen.
Okay? My first comment to you earlier when I was with Peggy and Bob, we listened to one of these forces using a person in the next bed. And the more we increased our prayer towards the Lord, the more that spirit was blah, you know, shouting and screaming and wanted all the attention. Mm-hmm. And Ephesians 6:12 says, your battle is not against flesh and blood. But we have a tendency to hold blood and flesh and people accountable. Some of you have people that you have and you hold and you love, and they're working full time for darkness and haven't got a clue, and they don't want to be disturbed. Okay? And you got to remember, Jesus respected their choice. You and I also have to respect their choice. And as John was sharing, I could only think about the father giving freedom to his two sons, giving them all of the finances, and the prodigal didn't wake up until he was in the swine pen. Now, Heavenly Father was waiting, expecting the return of his son. But the son really needed an awakening of his own. And when he saw that the slop that was being fed to the pigs looked more attractive than what he was eating, he woke up. So, watch again. If I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So part of the kingdom's responsibility is to get rid of what? Demon influence. Demons. What it does, how it steals, how it kills, how it destroys, how it accuses. And you and I have authority for that. Or again, 29, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house. So it's a lineup of authority. And I've learned that you can do a lot more with your spiritual language than you can with your brain. Because your brain, your mind, will, and emotions are under the control of your soul a good percentage of the time, and you're going to watch people doing deliverance under the anointing of flesh. But when you do the work by the Holy Ghost, you're going to get Holy Ghost results. And you may not think about this sometimes, but you might consider putting your own hand on your own head and commanding in the Ne'amush Shereyata and releasing your spirit. Because your spirit has greater awareness of what's going on inside of you than you do.
Amen.
And there are times that you're going to anoint yourself with oil. And as the Holy Spirit directs you, you're going to go a lot deeper and a lot sweeter and a lot quicker by using your spiritual authority than you will with using your brain and all your head knowledge and every book you've read. Okay? 30. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. So you can see Jesus protecting Holy Spirit. He is guarding Holy Spirit and respecting. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Is that clear? And some people don't want anything to do with Holy Spirit. They want a control from beginning to end on their soul. And they're happy. And don't disturb them. When I say don't disturb them, because you need to respect the decision. Their free will is real. I don't need Holy Spirit. I can do this all on my own. I know what the doctor said, and I know what this one said. Respect them. Leave them alone. Maybe they'll see the slop they're eating and wake up. And when they wake up, they'll come to you. But your intercession should not be done from natural understanding, because natural understanding is a trip by the darkness. And you're going to react out of your emotions, and you're going to feel the anger, you're going to feel the resentment, you're going to feel the responses out of your soul. Notice again that scripture is very important. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Now, in order for that type of reality, they've got to have an understanding of what the Holy Spirit is. Don't expect them, if they're babies in Christ, not to be understood by God. There's many that I've heard some say things that were horrible against the Holy Spirit. And I went to the Lord with it, and I said, Lord, have they got a clue what they're talking about? And he said, no. So if God doesn't hold them to an account, will they be forgiven at that point? Yes. Because they don't have knowledge. But the ones who do have knowledge of what the abilities and the awesomeness and the greatness of the Holy Spirit, they'll respect the Son, Jesus, they'll respect the Father, but Holy Spirit, I can do without. Bad choice. And if the press is on to intercede for them, please do so. Because they will be forgiven because of their lack of knowledge. Verse 20, 33. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruits. You brood of vipers. Now he's talking to the leaders. Remember, the Pharisees. These are leaders. These are people that know the Word of God. They have knowledge. Brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. 37 is my focus. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. When I came out of the realm of the Spirit this morning, he told me, write this down. According to your words, so shall it be done unto you. I was in the realm of the Spirit roughly 45 minutes, maybe an hour. I'm not sure. But I know I was out there. According to Kim's words, so shall it be done unto Kim. Close your eyes right now. Say, according to my words,
according to my words,
so shall it be done unto me.
So shall it be done unto me.
So I need to choose.
So I need to choose.
The words wisely.
The words wisely.
I give you praise, Father.
I give you praise, Father.
That I can respect the Holy Spirit.
That I can respect the Holy Spirit.
Because his plan is to set me free. And to make me like the firstborn son.
And to make me like the firstborn son.
So out of my heart.
So out of my heart.
My cry today
is to be like Jesus.
Not selfish.
Not selfish.
Not looking at what I need when I want it. But to be fully in compliance. Of the revelation that's in my heart. And if my heart is in need of repair.
And if my heart is in need of repair,
let it happen.
Let it happen.
Let your plan unfold.
Let your plan unfold.
Keep healing my heart, Lord.
Keep healing my heart, Lord.
So that I can become. Everything that's written.
In your book.
About me. I am an eternal being. My life will not stop.
My life will not stop.
My soul will not quit. If this body goes into the ground. I will be with my Savior. My healer. And my Recreator. Because he's on the job full time. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For healing me.
For I will be acquitted.
By the words coming out of my mouth.
By the words coming out of my mouth.
It's up to me.
It's up to me.
To ask for the help I need.
To ask for the help I need.
To ask for the grace that I need.
To ask for the grace that I need.
And the favor that I need.
And the favor that I need.
To complete my journey.
To complete my journey.
With the one who created me.
With the one who created me.
Because his plan is important.
Because his plan is important.
It's important for me.
It's important for me.
And it's important to him.
And it's important to him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
I'd like you to skip down now to verse 43. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, notice, it reasons, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. That is how it will be with the wicked, with this wicked generation. This word is not creating, hopefully, fear in your heart, because that's not what the aim is. But it is to put in a little bit of wisdom that you may have a season, sometimes a few hours, sometimes a few days, sometimes a few weeks or months, where you're going to find yourself capable of functioning on a higher level. And then all of a sudden, you start getting bad thinking. Mm. You end up going reverse. You don't even realize what's happening. But there's like a sneak attack. And when that happens, the awareness that the enemy wants back in has to come. It will function from the outside and keep pressing in, pressing in, hoping that you're going to confess that you're back in bondage. When that happens, you need to be aware that it's trying to get back in and it's not alone. And when that happens,
wow,
you need to be able to say, wait a minute.
Yes.
This is a test, and I'm going to pass.
Amen.
Out of your mouth will come the words of victory. According to your word, so shall it be unto you.
Amen.
So, the other day, there was war games, and I could tell. And I said, Lord, I'm being tested again, and it's in a corner that I don't like.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't like it. Okay? And, you know, the impulse on the inside says, oh my, you have just failed. And I said, I refuse that lie. I am not going backwards. And you're not going to get some of your buddies to come in and try to convince me that I'm back in bondage, because that's a lie from hell. It's not going to happen. So I'm commanding the darkness to loose and let go. And I went back confessing the scriptures about the blood, which is what you were conveying earlier. Romans 5:9. I'm justified in the courts of heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I kept st- stating that reality until all of a sudden there was a press to take Holy Communion by myself. So I took a couple of crackers and some wine, and I went into a place where I was alone, and I reminded myself that I'm feeding from the tree of life. The more I feed on the tree of life, what am I taking inside of me?
Life.
What am I taking? I'm taking his blood to intermingle in my blood to clean some of this brain that needs to be maybe invaded in a few corners that still want to hold on to me. Mm-hmm. And I can remember my religious brain. Anybody got a religious brain somewhere back there? And years ago, when the Holy Spirit taught that I could make the consecration on my own, wow, that was just totally, I mean, I'm talking about factory reject. And my whole emotional makeup, because of my religious training, said you can't do this. And for some of you, this is an old story, but I need to repeat it because I can see myself right now sitting in my office. Gino had given an incredible lesson about our ability in Christ and that we were priests according to 1 Peter. Well, now that was another issue. So, I went downstairs, I sat at my desk, I closed the door, took the phone and put it on hold. Lord, we need this whole corner to be cleaned up now. I said, how can I actually take a cup of wine and crackers and make that into communion? It just is not correct. He said, according to your religious brain, you're right on. Now, is it your religious brain that should be controlling you, or should it be your spirit within you? Well, I knew Romans 8. Those who obey the Spirit are the sons of God. Oh, okay. Well, that kind of put a little bit of a block on the enemy. So he says, now get some wine, and I did. A cracker in front of me, sitting on my desk, on a napkin. He said, now sit down and just pray in the Spirit for a moment. So I sat down and I put my hands out and I said, Father, I'm just going to release my spirit because that's what I heard to do. So I'm praying. And instantly, as I began to pray in the spirit, I have a vision. And the vision was of myself and my wife being at PTL in the upper room. Okay? And the minister who is ministering Holy Communion to all of us, and there was probably 30 people in the room. And when he said, we're going to do this in memory of the Lord, he didn't say it was the body and blood. Okay? He said, we're doing this in memory of. And I said in my own heart that day, as I was holding that little piece of bread, but for me, Lord, this is really your flesh. Mm-hmm. And I was holding that little tiny piece because, you know, in the assemblies, they only give you a little tiny piece. I started to feel a tingling going from my thumb and my first finger, going up my arm and all the way into my heart. And I don't want to let go now because, I mean, I'm enjoying what's happening. And the Holy Spirit said, Kim, that was your first consecration. Oh, my God. My religious brain exploded. Because I had already done it. He had already done it with me, in me, and through me. And that throughout the other royal type of, you know, priesthood that was a fake. And I thought, oh my God, Oh my God. And instantly when I took the cup, the same thing happened, because when they passed out the little cup of juice, I did the exact same thing. I remember doing it. And I was holding on to that little cup, but for me, this is your blood, Lord. And it tingled again. And boy, I wanted to hold on to the tingles, because it was so awesome. So what I'm saying to you is this. You have more abilities than you've ever known. If you keep pushing to other people the responsibility of your priesthood, and you as a king under construction, because you are kings, yes, but there's a construction process going on. Some of you are getting rid of the false lies and deceptions that are functioning on you and functioning through you. And you're kicking out some of the old stuff. And yes, even after you kick it out, it tries to come back in with some helpers. But you know what? You're going to be winners. Because as you stay focused on his obedience and his plan for your actions, according to your word, so shall it be done unto you. That word came not out loud. That word inside me at that place came inside my heart, and my papa heard it. You know why? Because he lives inside. His spirit is inside of me. His spirit knew exactly what I was saying, and the anointing came and the tingling came because he wanted me to be convinced that I had abilities that I didn't know I owned. I had a royal priesthood working inside of me that he wanted to develop. And there was a king under construction. And that king has abilities to do in the realm of the spirit today that he could have never done if he would have said no and went by religious background and religious traditions. But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub and the prince of demon that his fellow drives out demons." If Jesus would have let that word stand, would he have become your Savior? Was it a test? Did he respond out loud?
Yes.
Did he put the enemy out of business?
Amen.
Yes.
There are times you will speak.
Absolutely.
There are times that you're going to say, "No, I don't agree." And you're going to shut it down. There are times that your own head is going to tell you stuff. And you're going to say, "No, I'm not going there." There are times that darkness will try to win back a corner that you've already conquered. And you're going to say, "No way. By the blood of Jesus Christ, be gone. Don't you dare come around here again, because if you do, I am going to raise such a ruckus, because I'm going to worship God until you leave."
Amen.
Amen.
This afternoon, I'm going to a birthday party. And when I met this man, it was in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, on a charismatic camping trip. My sons and my wife and I had a beautiful camper, and we drove out there for a three-day weekend, 4th of July, if I remember correctly. And that night, we had a fire, big fire, in the middle of a huge field, and we were parked in a circle, looked like the wagons, you know, in a circle. And we all brought chairs and we sat down around the campfire. And this young man is now an attorney in downtown Boston defending the hopeless and the broken. He was 10 years old. His father and mother actually were the leaders of the Rivers of Living Water prayer group, which was 250 strong right here on
St. Patrick's
St. Patrick's School, correct. They became friends of ours. That little boy at 10 years old, because they asked, you know, do you have anything to say to the people? And we were, I would say, maybe 150 people at that campground. And he got up. He said, yep. He says, this is what I learned today. He said, when I get hurt and kind of bad thoughts coming in, he said, I say, thank you, devil. You just remind me to praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord one more time. Come on. I've heard that before.
Every time that I hear the enemy say you're about to fail, if this is a remind you. Thank you, devil. You just reminded me to praise the Lord.
So good, yes.
And the last time I saw him, which was a year ago at his father's birthday, his father, I believe, is turning 87. And we'll be there this afternoon. And I reminded him, because I don't think he's walking as much with the Lord as he was when he was 10. But that's between him and God. But I said those words to him, and he looked at me and he says, oh my God. I said, I think you've gone in a little bit of a different walk right now, but maybe this reminder will help you down the road of your, you know, challenged profession. So what am I saying to you? You can learn from a 10-year-old.
Yes, you can.
You can learn from a 5-year-old. You can learn that your words have power to change your future and your outcome. So just close your eyes now. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
let this truth,
manifest in me
in the days ahead. And when my mouth opens, have a party.
Have a party.
Amen.
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 I have a testimony.
Yes. 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 Yes.